Thank you very much. Nice introduction, Jerry. So we're actually going to focus on this presentation mostly on the Maryland exercise Dr. Romaneski is going to talk about. But before I get started, wanted to give some acknowledgments and kudos for some of the co-authors on this abstract and presentation. There are a number of folks listed that participated in this. We'll talk a little bit about CRA background and then some of the use cases where you, CRA has been used at the different levels, at the different jurisdictional levels. And then I really want to spend most of the time having Dr. Romaneski talk about a very substantial, extensive Maryland exercise that we participated in June. And then we'll summarize from there. Okay, so what is CRA? And I know a number of you have been in our CRA presentations, so this may be something that you're aware of already, but just to get everybody on the same page, CRA, its genesis is in the pre-event vaccination system. It's the that supported the national smallpox vaccination campaign, and this system was developed back in 2004, basically to support the smallpox vaccination campaign. At that time, there was a credible threat and a decision at an executive level to vaccinate a target population. Given the vaccination was relatively unused at that point, there was a need to collect very detailed level information across the nation, and there was no consistent system to do that. And so a system was developed by CDC to be able to collect the detailed information. And that's really the genesis of the CRA application. And I've said this before, we recognized at that time, or after that point, that we can't develop systems for unique purposes every time there is an event. And so we took the concepts of the PVS system and evolved it to a more flexible system. And that is what you see today, which is the Countermeasure and Response Administration System. And that is a system that is meant to support any countermeasure, any event. And by countermeasure, we mean medical interventions, such as vaccinations and pharmaceuticals, as well as non-medical interventions, such as patient isolation, quarantine, as well as social distancing measures. And this system tracks information about countermeasure administration and dispensing, both at the person level, which would be at the point of dispensing in a clinic, vaccination clinic, as well as aggregate counts for certain national or regional or national events. Prominently, pandemic influenza is an example where we're expecting to have aggregate reporting by all project areas in the early stages of the pandemic, when pre-pandemic and pandemic vaccine are in very short supply and need to be targeted towards certain priority groups. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of that since I've talked about that in the last couple of days. So when would CRA be used? CRA can be used in a number of different settings and situations. Pre-event or early event. Pre-event, the classic example is the smallpox vaccination campaign, in which, you know, there's a threat, there's a possibility of something occurring, and so we want to be proactive and have people prophylaxed or vaccinated in advance of a situation. Another use is during, and the example, a good example was the one discussion this morning, was perhaps post-event, but in a slower-moving situation, such as the mumps outbreak in Iowa, where, you know, over a relatively longer period of time, it comes to light that there's a major outbreak that's affecting, you know, a broad population, and then you need to go in and vaccinate or prophylax. And in this case, we might start out with another system, such as the outbreak management system, in which we're collecting information on an outbreak, and then determine that we need to move into a mass countermeasure effort. And then the last example is the post-event, a fast-moving, the aerosolized anthrax attack, where it becomes known very early in the event that it's known that there's a significant exposed population that needs to be rapidly prophylaxed, and that would be an example of where we would need to very rapidly, at a very high volume, track countermeasures being administered to people. So I just described three different circumstances, and in each of those circumstances you would collect different levels of information. So for example, in the fast moving, you might have very minimal information, at least during that 48-hour period. But in the pre-event or the early events situation, you might collect far more information. For example, in the smallpox campaign, we had very extensive, detailed person-level information that we were collecting. So before we get into Maryland, just wanted to give you some examples of where we have used and or tested this system, and what some of the things that we came out of it. So at the local level, the city of Long Beach used the system as part of their preparedness efforts. They used the system to track during a teen clinic in which they were also exercising their preparedness efforts. And in that case, we tested the offline capability as well as the capability to do follow-up for multiple dose administrations. And since those were not necessarily part of the system, these were efforts where we worked together with the jurisdiction to help define those capabilities and to incorporate those into the new product that's coming out in September. At the state level, I'm going to have Dr. Romaneski talk about Maryland because it was fairly substantial. But an early use was, in fact, we presented a year ago, was the New Hampshire anthrax exercise, in which we did the rapid data entry capability, where we were collecting minimal information during a pod exercise with SNS. And in that scenario, we tested an offline capability as well as recognized the need to do head of household tracking. At that point, we still do not have that capability, but we recognize that it needs to go into our next version. But in that case, we used a workaround. And then the last example is at the federal level, where we've participated in a number of exercises. One is at the CDC pandemic level, a pandemic exercise March and coming up in September, where we're using the system to report progress on how well we're reaching priority groups. And then we have an upcoming pandemic exercise in which we're exercising the national infrastructure to collect the aggregate information.
Right, right. A couple of things, though. One of the things that, and we highly encourage others to consider exercising the system outside of the DAX, you know, the seasonal exercise coming up. And one of the things that that was very important that came out of this exercise was, you know, a reinforcement of a few of the things that we were that we've built into the new version of the system, or that we're planning to put into the the next versions. One is the concept of preloading, information about selected populations. And Dr. Romanesky mentioned, say, the hospital employees or other focused populations. And so previously, the system only could accept people in with a countermeasure. So there wasn't the traditional concept, like in a clinic system, of the pre-registration. So we now have that concept, and we have the ability to accept specified populations into the system. Right now, it's more focused event to event, as opposed to messaging, say, between CRA and immunization registry. Another area, and this is not for the 1.8 that's coming out September 15th, but likely to be incorporated into 1.9, which would be probably the 1st of February, would be the head of household concept. And that's not a new concept, and it's something that our SNS folks definitely push, shall I say. We can certainly collect, folks from a family. That's not a problem, and we've tested that out in the New Hampshire exercise, and certainly with Maryland. But the thing that Maryland highlighted was in the community, Howard County, we had a situation where the pod was set up so that healthy people would come in and pick up medication for ill people and take it home to their families. And so we needed a means to track, who showed up. Not necessarily that they were getting medication, as well as who would be getting the medication. So it's the whole range of possibilities associated with the head of household. So that's a very important that we get that one right. And then the other thing is the offline capability to do that, to further enhance that, so that it's not only just in situations where you're internet access is not available, but where you could actually deploy it at the state level, have points of dispensing or clinics access it via web, but then be able to report up to the federal level, say, on an aggregate basis. So those are some of the things that we're working on and exercising, with state participation has been tremendously important in our working on that. So. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Topars.
Do we have time for questions?
Questions?